It is a good day and a good season to give thanks, isn't it? Every day really is a good day. Come on in, kids. What we're going to do first this morning, friends, because you have gone to great efforts this morning in putting together lots and lots and lots of boxes, we're going to lay hands on these shoe boxes and pray for the gift and the giver. We're going to pray for the children. Gather all around them, kids. We're going to lay hands on them. You see, I think everybody knows here, but these are going to go to Brainerd tomorrow morning, to the cities tomorrow afternoon, and as Richard said in his prayer, from there to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we just want to pray for the kids that'll get these gifts. And we want to thank you for putting them together. And so, we've brought the kids up today to lay hands on these gifts. In essence, we're praying for the children that'll get the gifts. And so, boys and girls, let's pray for them, should we?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the joy these are going to bring to little kids' lives, Lord. Lord, they've never gotten a gift, most likely. They've never gotten anything, Father. So, Lord, we just thank you that they have the opportunity to open this box, Lord, and find joy. Lord, but better than that, Lord, they're going to find a message about you and your love for them and a plan of salvation for their lives, Lord, that they can have hope for eternity. So, Lord, we pray for these boxes right now, Lord. Lord, that you would send them on their way, Father, that they would travel there in one piece, Father. Lord, I thank you for all the volunteers who pack them and carry them and move them from place to place, Lord, before they get put on a ship or a plane, Lord. Lord, I thank you for those in our congregation who put these boxes together, Lord. We pray that you would bless those hands. Lord, we'll be with the children that's going to, each and every one of the children that are going to get these boxes, Lord. We just pray that the smiles on their face would bring joy to you, Father. Lord, that the love in their hearts, Father, would bring joy to you. Lord, that they would come to know you in a real and personable way. So we pray the Holy Spirit would go with these boxes and work on kids' hearts throughout this world, wherever they may be, no matter what situation they are in, and that they would find your love and your joy. And we ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Helping pack them, and thank you for praying for them. We'll keep praying for these kids to get them and pray that they have a wonderful Christmas. Okay, here's what we do next on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. For several years, I have been inviting you to share with us what you have been thankful for, maybe this year, maybe this week. And as I said in the earlier service, it may be something very unique. It may be something that's very ordinary. But we're going to take this time to say thank you, Lord. And as I said in the earlier service, you know, I look around and I see your faces, and I know some of the stories from this year. The loss, the hurt, the joy. And yet, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have something to be thankful for. We have a hope that is real. Amen? We have a hope in heaven. And so, we're going to take a little time this morning to say thank you. And I want to start with my own daughter, Tim and Jess. You know them. Most of you know Tim and Jess very well. And most of you know that 10 months ago on a Sunday morning, the last one in January, we learned that their littlest girl had leukemia. And so for 10 months, we have traveled this journey of leukemia. It hasn't been easy. But this last week on Tuesday, their doctor had called them and said, Catherine is now leukemia free. And so we praise God for that. And over the course of the 9 months that Jessica and Catherine were in the hospitals, most of you, some of you had access to your computer, read her Caring Bridge posts. And there was many a good word in there, many a good word for us and what they were going through. So I've invited Jess to start today by just telling us a little bit of what she's thankful for. And so she's going to start, and then Richard is going to bring the microphone to you. Whoever raises your hand, we'll start over here in this section, and then move to this section and then to that, so Richard doesn't have to dash back and forth all day. But we do want to hear from you today. It may be the very unique, just to you. It may be ordinary. We want to hear from you today. I told the earlier service, I do have a sermon, so if you say nothing, you have to listen to me. But the more things you give thanks for, the more we rejoice together and say, thank you, Lord, together. Amen? Amen. Jessica, go ahead. And oh, she's got a mic. Okay.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Jess. And like Dad said, Catherine was diagnosed with leukemia a good 10 months ago. And when you hear something like that, you expect to sit in grief. And not to say that we didn't have difficult days, by all means, there were certainly more difficult days than others. But I said, for me personally, through this journey that she has been on with leukemia, it has been a growing in Christ and a time to be thankful because he has done so much for us. There wasn't a day that I didn't know that the Master was by my side through this. And especially early on in this journey, there was such a peace that I knew it was from Jesus because I really wasn't concerned about her health at all. And so I knew that peace that passeth understanding was from Jesus. And so there's just so much that I think I could tell. When Dad asked me last week, I said, within my spirit, one, I got a little nervous, and two, I thought, oh, I could go on all day. Because there's just so much good that the Lord has done for us through this. And like I said, nobody wants to hear the word cancer in your family, in your child, in yourself. Nobody wants to hear that. And yet we serve a big God. We serve a loving God. And knowing that, I knew where to put my faith and my hope and my trust. And praise God, yes, we did get good results this last week. Praise God for you. I am very thankful for this church body, our family in Christ here who have supported us through this year. It has been a blessing beyond words, and so we are thankful for that. There's so much. I'm like, the verse, Susie bought me a little bracelet that says one of my favorite verses. So there are several verses that the Lord has given me this year to cling to. And the 2 Thessalonians 5:16-18 is one of them. And she gave me a little bracelet that has that on that. But be joyful, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. I read that verse probably 2-3 years ago that really struck me when it said, this is the will of God for you. And when you can rest in that place where this is God's will for you, he's going to take care of you, he's going to walk with you through it. There's something different about it than just being in pain or in sorrow or in sickness. But God will strengthen you through it, and he will use you through it. And so this year has been a blessing for us. It's been a blessing for my family. I look at my husband because here I'm speaking for him again. It's not always good to speak for him. But it's been good for me as a whole. Praise God we're back together as a family, because that was the roughest. That was honestly the roughest, being away from my big kids. But God showed me, too, that he took care of them very well through those months that we were apart. So thank you, church family, for helping to bless us this year. Praise God, most importantly, because he did. He blessed us abundantly through what could have been a terrible situation, but he made our burden light. So I thank him for that.
When we clap for each other, we're really saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so when we clap, we're giving God glory. Anybody in that section, you slip your hand up. Richard will give you the mic. Don't be afraid. Don't be bashful. But we do want to hear from you this morning for a few minutes. Anybody that has a word of thanks, we'd like to hear and give God glory with you.
This is very hard, but I just want to give thanks to all my friends, the church, especially my two sons, my two daughter-in-laws, and my four grandkids. As a, you know, I lost my husband 9 months ago. It's been very rough, but I just want to thank everybody that has helped me and been there for me, because it's a tough road, but you got to go on one step at a time or one day at a time. And just remember, every day, please tell everybody how much you love them and how they much they mean to you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. Praise the Lord.
I just want to say thank you to all the church family that's always been there for me, that's guided me and shown me that I have family other than the family that's biological. I have actual family. And thanks, Jim Palmer, for being part of Charlie's in my life, because whenever we needed something, he'd been there and he's tried to help us. And I just want to thank Pastor Jim, too, for showing me the way that to find the Lord as my Savior. So I want to thank the whole church family, and I love you all.
Thank you, Linda. Praise the Lord.
Thankful for good neighbors with snowplows to help us get out of our driveways. Thank you, Lonnie. We appreciate you and what you do for us in the wintertime.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else over there? Otherwise, we're going to move into the middle.
I'm thankful for our year of safety and health, and that Lonnie got home on Thursday night before the snow.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Richard. Oh, yeah, go ahead. He'll come back up here, Charlie. He'll be back.
This year was the first year I've ever had any surgeries of any kind, and I actually ended up having two surgeries this year, and I thank the Lord, have completely healed from both of them, and I'm doing great, so I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for my family. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. When I look around and see your faces and know your stories, and I said this at the earlier service, there was people here last week that was, they were visiting us for the first time. I'm so thankful for what God is doing in your lives and in our midst. There was a young man here last week. He was going to try to come again today, but he's a Teen Challenge graduate. And if you know anything about Teen Challenge, that means he's struggled with addictions his whole life. And yet he was here last Sunday worshiping with us, rejoicing in the Lord. He sent me a text this week and said, I'm graduating from the second phase, which is down in the cities, of Teen Challenge, and I want to bring my grandpa and grandma to church. That's a transformed life. From high on drugs to high on Jesus. And so I look around you and I see these kind of stories, and I'm so thankful. Charlie, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm Charlie Green. I'm thankful for the new pacemaker that they put in my chest to replace the old one, and it's working fine. I'm thankful for the support of all of this great church and all of its devoted members.
Amen.
And I'm also thankful for a warm home to live in,
mm-hmm.
and a loving wife to care for me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm thankful for our pastors, both of them. Pastor Richard and I have gotten to be a little closer working with the youth, and I'm really thankful for our youth group that we have.
Amen.
We have a great group of young people.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, and if somebody over there on the left decides you want to raise your hand, you go ahead. But Richard's now moving to the right.
I'm thankful for my wonderful friends and my sister, that they're always there for me through thick and thin, even if it's something happy or something sad, and they're just always there for me, and they're great. God has blessed me with a wonderful family and friends to share my life with.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to be thankful for being so welcomed here. Mm-hmm. Everybody's really kind and sweet. Thank you. That's about all.
I'm glad that Russell is with us this morning. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad that you're all with us this morning. We heard in the earlier service, Richard, from two or three people at least that were almost brand new, maybe a couple of weeks. And we are very thankful for you, whether you're brand new or whether you've been here as long as I have, which has been a while. We're thankful for you. We're thankful for what God is doing in our community and in the other churches. But we're thankful for you, and I'm thankful this morning for Russell. He's here with us for the first time, and God bless you, brother. Thank you for coming, you and Linda. Thank you for coming. Anybody else? Raise your hand so we can see you. We don't want to miss you. Otherwise, you're going to have to break open your Bibles, and we're going to look at the Word.
My name is Roy Bell, and if you've known me a while, you know I've had a few accidents in my life. I've had a little adversity, but there's a guy that used to say, "You can be sad or you can be glad, and it's a whole lot more fun to be glad."
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the love of Jesus in your heart, you can be glad.
Amen.
And you can be thankful. And if we reflect that to the people we work with every day, we're fulfilling what He wants us to do. And the more I grow and the more I read, the more that comes through. So I'm just thankful that we can open up the Word, and that we can come here without being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
So many things that we take every day for granted. Mm-hmm. So just living in this country. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
So I think I say this every year, but I'm thankful that my children are seeking the Lord in a time where that's not the popular thing to do for kids. It's hard for kids. It's difficult with peers. And I'm just so thankful that each one of them has a heart for the Lord and that they're seeking Him daily. And along with that, for our youth group, I've been blessed to be a part of the youth group. And these kids are such a great influence on my kids, which is so helpful to have them have people to look up to and peers to be with who are also following the Lord. So I'm just so thankful for our youth in this church, in this community, and mostly that my children are following the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Logan Michelson, I think he probably comes to the early service, so I won't embarrass him, but I'm very thankful for him. Mm-hmm. Inviting myself,
mm-hmm.
so that way we could come and find this church.
We're thankful for you. Thank you for coming. While you're thinking about raising your hand, because I know you are, let me just say, I think it was Roy, but many have said it this morning, we take a lot of things for granted. Amen? We take a lot of things for granted. Tasha just called me the other day. Did she? Did your friend arrive?
Yes, and she wasn't able to make it here this morning because her vehicle is not equipped for Minnesota.
Tasha just called me the other day. And she said, I have a friend coming that is homeless. She's from Florida and she's coming to Minnesota. She got here the night before the storm. They're from Florida. A single mother with four children. They have no home. They have no winter clothes. And apparently her car isn't ready for Minnesota either. And probably the antifreeze isn't too good. Better have Chad check that too. But you see what I'm saying, friends? We take a lot of stuff for granted. And maybe we can come alongside Tasha, who has come alongside Jennifer and her four kids, and maybe in our church family we can do something about that. I haven't met her yet, but I'm going to. We take a lot of things for granted. Normally, now in the last day or two, we've walked up to the light switch and flicked it on. It didn't come on. But normally it comes on. That's not the case around the world. Pastor Salek tells us in Pakistan they can expect every day the lights are going to go out and they're going to stay out for several hours. Every day we walk up to the fountain and we get a drink where millions and millions of people around the globe cannot walk up and get a fresh drink of water. We get to come to church this morning, and the heater works. The lights are even on. And nobody's persecuting us. There's so many things that we take for granted. I just hope this week is one that you can be thankful for. And I know, like Molly has shared early on, she lost her husband this year, and some of the rest of you have lost your husband or your wife or your children or your parents or your best friend or whatever. But if we know Jesus, we've got something to be thankful for because there's hope beyond today. Amen. And so I hope this week is a week you can find things to be thankful for, and we remember those that are hurting, like those of you that have lost your loved one this year, like those that have no home. And so, anybody else? Hands? Oh, back over here, Richard. We got time. Don't be bashful.
I just wanted to thank the Lord for, you know, like basic stuff. Cars, food, a good woman to cook me supper. Stay with me when it's thick and thin. Amen.
Amen. Did I see another hand? Oh, up here to Joel. Did anybody else have theirs back there? Okay, up here to Joel had her hands up.
I just thank the Lord for my children who are in Christian's families. Mm-hmm. And also my son-in-law, Rick, who has had cancer this year, and right now he's going through chemo, and we've heard that he's got a real super boss, that if he's feeling fine, he can go into work. If he feels tired, he can go home. And I just thank the Lord that the Lord has got his hand in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I can't just let her talk, you know. But I have a good illustration for us. Quite a few years ago, my grandfather was 101, and he was in my mom's house and when he died, and he wanted her to hug him, and he kept hollering, "Don't let him take me, don't let him take me." I'm getting goose pimples just telling this. And then on the other hand, my sister passed away here this summer. And she was holding her hands in the air saying, "Let him take me, let him take me." So thank the Lord for her.
Amen. Thank you, Herb. While Richard is going towards the back, and then we'll go over to the other side, we had a chance in the earlier service to lay hands on our new mayor. I asked his permission. His daughters are here with us. You've heard from one of them already. But our new mayor in town was at our earlier service, and I asked, could we lay hands on you and pray for you as the mayor of this city? And so we did that, and so we're thankful for an opportunity to vote, aren't we? In America, we get to vote, we get to have a voice, and so anyway.
It's such a simple thing, but I want to thank the Lord for this good life that I've got, for my husband and my children and all of the family who love me, those who put up with me. And I am so blessed with so many things that, like you just said, Jim, we just take for granted every day. But I try to remember every morning to thank him, because I am so grateful, and I know how blessed I am. And yesterday, out in all that snow with my shovel, and I really like to shovel snow when it's not too cold. So I was okay. But I remembered, I stopped to take a break, and I was looking up at the sky, and the clouds were moving really fast. And I was looking at how beautiful the trees are with the snow on them. And and I remembered what I had just read, that we need to be grateful for things that make life a little harder. And it's really beautiful. And so I remembered to thank God for the beauty of that snow and what he had done to our world.
Amen.
With it. So
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Stella. Praise be to God. I think there was a hand over here, Richard.
I'm thankful for people who are willing to come out and work in the snow to fix our electricity.
Amen.
I'm just thankful for my family for putting up with me for these past couple of years. It's been really hard. And I thank my mom for adopting me, because I don't know where I would be without her. So thank you, Mom.
Amen, Nick. Lord bless you. I told the service earlier that I'm very thankful for the fresh snow, too, especially for the very large pile that was right at the base of our house, because when I come sliding off the roof, I'm glad it was there. It's probably hard today, but it was soft yesterday. Anybody else? We just got a few minutes left, and we can hear from you, or we can turn to Scripture for a few minutes. I don't see hands. I'm like the auctioneer that's going to say sold. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm going to take the last 12 minutes to remind us from Scripture. I'm thankful for the light of Jesus. And now you've kind of alluded to that, a lot of you, in your conversations this morning, but couple three sets of verses I'm going to expound on. The first one comes from John chapter 8, verse 12. It said, and you can follow along in your Bible, but you're going to have to hurry, because I'm going to hurry, or just watch it on the big screen. John 8 and 12 said, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world.'" That's what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. You may have figured this out already, but the world can be a dark place. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then he said, he who follows me. You see, we got to choose someday, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. We've got to choose if we're going to follow or not. But Jesus said, when we choose, when we do, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to repent of sin. I'm going to claim him as my own Savior and Lord. He says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I'm thankful for that today. I say hallelujah. We don't have to walk any longer in the darkness. Can I get a witness? We don't have to walk in the darkness anymore. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when you and I, when people of all nations, of all colors and creeds, when we decide to follow Christ, we no longer walk in the darkness. John 12:46, Jesus also said, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. You see, friends, at some point we got to decide, do I believe in him or not? You might say, yes, Jim, I believe there's a God. I believe there is. We might know about God, but do we know him? And Jesus said, he who believes, that's a belief that embraces, that grabs hold of who he is, Messiah and Lord, shall no longer abide in the darkness. And I'm thankful we do not have to walk, we do not have to abide in the darkness. I'm thankful for that, brothers and sisters. John 1, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. John the Revelator, the disciple, is writing this, but he's writing about John the Baptist. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light. In other words, John the disciple is writing about John the Baptist and saying, there is a town crier coming, and he's going to tell us the light is coming. That's what John the Baptist did when he says he bore witness to the light, that all through him, that's the light, might believe. He was not the light, John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. You see, Jesus came and he laid down his life for all of us. Hallelujah. He came as a light. He came as Redeemer, Savior, Master, Lord, God, all of it. But he said himself, I come as a light. And if you'll follow me, you don't have to live in darkness no more. Hallelujah. I'm glad of that, brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for the light. Now, our responsibility. Very quickly to Matthew 5:14. Most of you know that's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about the light there too. Matthew 5:14. He was talking to would-be followers of Jesus. He said, you are the light. People of God, did you know that? Jesus is the light. But when we put our faith and trust in him and we walk with him, Jesus said, you too are the light. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on that hill, it can't be hidden because the light's on. And that's the way our lives should be for Jesus. Amen? We should be reflecting Jesus. He is the light. Anybody see the full moon Sunday night? What do you call that? Blood moon or something? Super moon. Yeah, super blood moon or whatever. It was bright anyway. I got to Teen Challenge at 8 o'clock on Monday morning because it just so happened it was my turn to bring chapel there. And the guy that starts the whole chapel hour for the guys and before I took the pulpit to share with him, he asked him, did you see the moon this morning? I guess it was closest to the earth at 2:14 a.m. Anybody see that? No, me either. I was sound asleep. But anyway, this guy, he's telling the Teen Challenge guy at 2:14, it was the closest it's been to Earth since 1956. Was it 56? Before I was born. And so it was big and it was bright and it was beautiful. And you could actually see kind of not the shape of it, but the structure of it. And then he said to them men on Monday morning, when we put on Christ, we are a reflection of him. Like that moon. The moon don't have no source of light. Y'all knew that, right? You young cats, you young men and women, you knew that, right? It don't have its own source of light. It's just reflecting off the sun. Work with me. You knew that, right? Okay. All right. You're still learning. I knew you were. But it was bright And it was beautiful because it was reflecting the image of the Son. And that's what believers are supposed to do, reflect the image of the Son. Amen. Just like that beautiful moon on Sunday night through the night. You are the light, Jesus said. And when your light is shining, like He said, that city sitting on a hill with its lights on, you ain't gonna hide it. You too, followers of Christ, you are the light. You're to reflect Jesus. You're to reflect the Son, just like that beautiful moon was Sunday night. Brightly shining for the Son of God. That's what He's called us to, because He is the light. He has called us to be the light and reflect Him. I'm so thankful for the light of Jesus today. My time is running out really quickly. And I just want to remind us, friends, if we haven't repented of sin, remember Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. And then Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we haven't been born again, if we haven't put on Christ, we haven't surrendered our life to Him, we're still walking in the darkness. Nobody really wants to walk in the darkness when we think about it. We really don't. Because the darkness is what Jesus said was the broad road that leads to destruction. None of us really want to be in the darkness. And so I want to encourage us today, friends, if you haven't stepped into the light of Jesus, it's time to step into the light. He came for us, all of us. It's time to acknowledge Him as Lord, repent of sin, and put on Christ. I'm so thankful that is available to all of us. Amen? Some of the challenge that I see today is that sometimes when I say I am a Christian, and I'm speaking to myself because I was there for too long too, saying I'm a Christian and still acting like I'm in the dark. Still acting like I'm walking in the dark. Sometimes, even seemingly, kind of prefer the dark. You know what I'm saying? When Jesus said to Christians, and I'm not saying I'm any better than anybody else, and I'm not saying any Christian is either. But until we have put on Christ, until we have been born again, until we have repented of sin and said, Jesus, take over, we're still walking in the darkness. But when we have done that, we need to step out of the darkness and into the light of Jesus, because He said He's the light and He told us to reflect the light. Some of the challenge I see is when Christians, we want to kind of cling to the darkness. We kind of prefer it that way. That would not be the right equation that Jesus said when He said, you are the light, my followers. Let me give you a little illustration to wrap it up today, to close. Anybody know Pastor Tony Evans? Dr. Tony Evans? Great man of God. Pastor in Dallas, reaches a very large congregation in Dallas. He's an African-American man that has black and white and Hispanic and all kind of folks in his church, just the way they should be. He spoke this week on, he called it the reflections on the elections. Anybody hear it? You better Google it. Check it out. I don't have time to tell you the whole thing, but it was brilliant. It was dead on. And here's what he said, and I'll try to be really close because time is running out really quick. He said, in America, we are politically divided. Okay, we know that. In America, we are racially divided, and too often times, we know that. We are economically divided, and we're socially divided. And Dr. Evans says to his congregation that day, and then I hear Christians being divided along these same lines, and being divided just like the world is divided. And when I see that and I hear that Christians are still divided along these same lines, that means we're still not getting it. Because we're supposed to be reflecting the light. And when we're reflecting the light, the Bible reminds us to love our neighbors as ourselves. You remember that part? And if we're reflecting the light, Jesus also said to love your enemies and pray for those that despitefully use you and bless those that curse you. And Dr. Evans said, when I hear about Christians being divided over these matters, I say we're still not getting it. And then he refers to the election just a little bit when he said the Bible says that God is the one that puts up kingdoms and he tears kings down. And then he said to his congregation that day, your vote, my vote, it's a vote and we have the wonderful privilege to vote, but it's not the final say in the matter of who God establishes, because it's God that establishes kings and kingdoms. It's God that sets them up. It's God that takes them down. And we get all wrapped up and we get all shook up about these matters. And we must realize that it's heaven who rules over these matters. I could tell you stories about Nebuchadnezzar and eating grass for 7 years. Some of you know the story. Because he looked out over his palace at Babylon one day and said, oh man, have I done a good job here. At what he had built. And for the next 7 years, he walked around on his hands and knees and ate grass like the ox. Or I could tell you the story of Herod the Tetrarch, who stood in western Palestine one day, and the people were bowing to him and worshiping him and saying, he's got the voice of a god. He ain't even a man. And Herod, yeah, that's me. That's me. And God inflicted him with internal worms that ate him alive from the inside out. I could tell you stories like that from the Word of God. I'm just saying, heaven rules over these matters. And sometimes, as Dr. Evans said, we, you and I, Christians, we need to understand of all that, God is still calling the shots. Yeah, we get to vote. Praise God for that. But when we get all shook up and we get all messed up in our being and in our emotions about not liking something on earth, when God, we must remember, is behind it in the first place. Dr. Evans went on to say, there are times when God allows things to get shaken up so that he may reveal his unshakable kingdom. Hallelujah. Here's my point to me, people of light, today. How do we expect the world at large that's hurting and doesn't know Christ, hasn't stepped into the light? How do we expect the world at large to get along when we can't get along in the church house of God? We are to be children of light, reflecting the light like the full moon was just a few nights ago. How do we expect the world to get along when and if we can't get along in the church? What kind of light is my bad language or my stealing from the boss or my negativity on Facebook? What kind of light is that reflecting? You see, that's what we need to think about when we are called to be children of light. Our role, brothers and sisters, when we have come to Christ, when we have put our faith in Christ, is to demonstrate what it means to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. After all, we are not the disciple of the president. We are the disciple of King Jesus. Hallelujah. Do I pray for the president? Yes. Past, present, and future, absolutely I will, because the Bible commands me to do that. But we are not disciples of the president. Matter of fact, I forgot to tell your daddy, Kayla and Crystal, we ain't even disciple of the mayor. He knows that, though. We are disciples of Jesus, and we are to reflect the light of Jesus. And so, let me conclude with this. Dr. Evans said, there may be racism out there. I think there's really no may about it. We all know there is. There may be hatred and violence out there. And Dr. Evans said, but there should not be any of that in here. We are children of the light. That needs to be checked at the door when we give our light, our life to the light of the world. And so Motley Free Methodist friends and family today, our actions, yours and mine, and our reactions to elections or anything else will really demonstrate if we are following the light. Did you hear me? Our actions and our reactions will demonstrate if we really are following the light of Jesus. Sometimes I see a lot of negativity on Facebook. I use it as a tool to communicate to a lot of you, and I like it. But sometimes when I see spewing of hatred and garbage, I'm asking myself, wow, what kind of light are we really shedding here, Christians? And so, I just want to say, because I'm past time now, we're going to quit. I just want to say I'm thankful for the light of Jesus today. I really am. I'm thankful for the light of Jesus. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for what God is doing in your life. I'm thankful that you're here this morning. I'm thankful for what God is doing in our community and in our nation. I'm thankful for a new administrations from the very local to the very White House, perhaps fresh starts. I'm thankful for what God is doing in our teenagers, in our kids. I'm thankful for people that are willing to set aside the time every week to go love them kids and teenagers. I'm thankful, yes, for what God has done in my family and bringing our youngest of 9 grandchildren, bringing her through 10 months of a journey called leukemia. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful that God has got a lot more for us to do should He tarry. And so I encourage us today to step into the light. If we've never done that, today's the day to step into the light. Confess our sin. That means and repent of it. It means turn away from it. Invite Christ to be Lord of our lives and start living in the light of Jesus. Let's sing Amazing Grace. I'm thankful for His grace. Because you see, without the grace of God, we're still wandering around in our sin. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not of works. You can't work your way to heaven. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Friends, let's bow our heads. And I want you to ponder for a minute, have I experienced the amazing grace of God? I want you to ask yourself, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, your heart bowed before God, have I experienced the grace of God? Have I been born again? Is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And I want to encourage you today, if the Lord is helping you with that answer, you're not sure or the answer is no, that you'll say yes to the Lord today. Matter of fact, I'll lead us in a little prayer. You can just say that to the Lord. I just want us to know today, friends, that the grace of God is available to each and every one of us and everybody else, but we do have to exercise our faith in the goodness of God, in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so if you're here this morning and you haven't experienced that grace, maybe today is the day of salvation. Almighty God, we thank and praise You. Your grace is available. Your grace is sufficient. The blood of Jesus has been shed for our sin. And we are so thankful to You, God, for Your plan to redeem humanity. And maybe, Heavenly Father, today is the day for somebody that would say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe in Jesus the Christ. Yes, Lord, I repent of my sin. Yes, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Yes, Lord, come into my life and take control. And so today maybe is the day of salvation for somebody, whether in our church or in our families, in this town, or certainly in this nation. I pray that people would say, yes, Lord, I surrender to You. Take over, Lord Jesus. Fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your goodness. Take control of my life. Help me to step into the light. Father God, may that be so here today. May that be so around America and the globe today. I pray that You'd watch over us this Thanksgiving season. I pray that You'd help us to have a great week of being thankful. I pray that You'd continue to watch over our policemen, our firefighters, our military personnel, in some cases that are many continents away. I pray that You would continue to revive the church, and the church would rise up like at Pentecost in the power of the Holy Spirit of God and walk as light, loving you and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And so, Father, may this be a good week for us. May this be a good week for America. May you be glorified, and may your will be done, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.